intervene, when you reveal yourself to him in a way that he can understand and respond to. And Father, speak to us through this chapter, encourage us through this chapter, plant hope in our hearts through this chapter, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're able to see not only what Job is unable to see, we can see what Job's friends are unable to see. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, they're wise, but they're wise in their own eyes. they did not believe that God would allow an innocent person to suffer. Now, Vicky and I worked in Thailand for 8 years, and we got to know the Thai people. We got to see the way they lived and the way they thought, the way they acted in situations. With Thai people, when a person smiles at us, we think that person's being warm and friendly. But Thai people smile. There can be 20 reasons why they smile. And they could just be confused or not know what to do, not know how to respond. They could be embarrassed. They could be angry and they would smile. So when you go to Thailand and people smile at you, you know, it doesn't actually mean people are being friendly. It's true. Thank you very much. So, and in Thailand, it's a scary thing for a person to go through adversity and hardship. Now, it's scary not only because it's always awful when you go through hardship and adversity, but it's doubly hard for people in Thailand because of their belief in the law of karma and their belief in, you know, good karma and bad karma. And when things go wrong, oh no, this is bad karma catching up with me. So it's hard for those people. And also, in a sense, if you believe in the law of karma, and in that country, most of the people, that's their belief. They don't believe in God, but they believe in the law of karma. And if you do good, if you think good thoughts and do speak good words and do good actions, then good will come back to you, and vice versa. If you say bad words and think bad thoughts and do bad things, then unpleasant things will come back to you. So when, if you have that system of thinking, when things go wrong for a person, you don't need to show too much empathy, because really, if things go wrong and you go through hardship, you're really only getting what you deserve. So, you know, I might show a certain amount of empathy, but really these things wouldn't be happening if you were behaving yourself and doing the right thing. So it's doubly hard for people in Thailand when things go wrong. And when we listen to the words of these three comforters, they misrepresent God. They distort theological truth. And they think they have a handle on what's going on in Job's life. And they think that Job is the one under judgment. And then everything is reversed and they realize that they are the ones who are under judgment. So it continues in verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Throughout this book, throughout the book of Job, we see God at work. We see God strengthening the heart of his servant Job. And we see that Job is given the grace to persevere. We see that Job is given the grace to continue to hold on to God. But we see Job is given the grace to continue to do what is right. He resolves in his heart that even if he's not being blessed in the way he would hope to be blessed, he's going to continue to do what is right. And he's given the grace to continue to honour God and give God the glory and to acknowledge that God is a good God and a just judge. When is the turning point, do you think, in the book of Job? When is the turning point where things really look up for Job? We now come to verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who'd known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hubbuck. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. Even when we come to the last chapter of Job, we are able to see what Job is unable to see. His questions remain unanswered. His eyes still not can see the things that we can see. His mind is unable to fathom. He really doesn't understand why it is that he's had this experience of loss. But something has changed. Something is different. God has spoken to Job. God has revealed himself to Job. And in those chapters 38 to 41, God confronts Job and speaks to Job. And he begins by saying these words at the start of chapter 38. Job has all these questions to ask God and appeals to God chapter after chapter. And then finally God intervenes. And it's a glorious intervention. And the Lord says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me." And the Lord says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of the Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you comprehend the vast expanses of the earth? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food?" God reveals his greatness and his glory. He is the creator God. He is the sustainer of the universe. He is the sovereign Lord over all things. But he is the God who loves and cares for his servant. He's the God who loves and cares for each one of us. And he's able to express his love and his care for each one of us in an intimate, personal way. Not only is he the God of glory, the God of the universe, he's a God who can reveal himself to each one of us and communicate his love and care for each one of us in an intimate way. Well, most of us here will remember Lola East. She died last October, but before she went to Kilbride Nursing Home, she regularly attended our church here. Sunday by Sunday, she was here. And these words were spoken at Lola's funeral service. We rejoice in the knowledge that Lola's cries have been heard, her prayers have been answered, her hopes and her dreams have now been realized. And that was a wonderful statement for Lola, who'd been through so much pain. She'd lost her husband and she'd lost her son in a moment as a result of a motorbike accident. And it was a wound too hard for her to bear. And she still had a daughter, and life changed forever for her and her daughter once Lola's husband and her son died. And those words were special, that Lola's cries, the joy of redemption, the joy of salvation, the joy of eternal life, her cries have been heard, her prayers have been answered, her hopes and her dreams have now been realized. And to think all that pain would suddenly be taken away and she would enter into the glory of God's presence was just wonderful. And it was wonderful for us to celebrate that at that Thanksgiving service. So when is the turning point, do you think, in the book of Job? When we get to even the start of chapter 42, Job's cries have been heard, his prayers have been answered, his hopes have been realized, even before his fortunes are restored. So just note that the turning point is not when his fortunes are restored. The fortune comes at the start when he acknowledges God's greatness. He says to God, "I know that you can do all things. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. I'd heard of you, but you were so much greater than I'd imagined. I never contemplated your greatness and your glory. I thought I knew you. I thought I had a handle on who you were, but you're so much more. You're so much greater." And he says, "I know that you, God, can do all things." God can do all things, even bring comfort and assurance to his servant, even when he cannot fathom the meaning of what he's, even when he can't get a handle on what he's going through. God is able to comfort him and bring him that assurance. People try to find peace in all sorts of things. They think, if I could just be married, I'd have peace. If only I could have this, or if only I could own that, I'd have peace. If only I were more beautiful, if only I were more handsome, if only I had more wealth. But none of these things guarantees any peace whatsoever. When is the turning point for Job? When is the turning point? When things change, when he begins to look up, when he begins to praise and glorify God. Even before his fortunes are restored, Job has peace with God. So it's not after he gets all these things back again. He has these children and he has livestock, and it's not when his fortunes are restored. It's once, even before his questions are answered, Job praises God. And those words in verse 5, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Jesus gives you peace no matter what comes your way. Regardless of circumstances, there is a calmness and serenity that anchors your soul. You are not blown about by the winds of adversity, because the Lord comforts you with his presence. The Lord stabilizes you with his peace. The Lord strengthens you with his promise. So when is the turning point for Job? When is the time when things begin to turn for him? Even before his fortunes are restored, his cries have been heard, his prayers have been answered, his hopes have been realized. And so the challenge of this chapter, as we consider our own lives today, is where do we put our focus? What are we looking to God for? What are we hoping for? In whom do we put our trust? Let's pray. Father, this chapter really challenges us and asks us a question about where we put our focus. Because we might easily think that Job could well praise God when his fortunes were restored, but he didn't wait till his fortunes were restored to praise you, to acknowledge you. Father God, we thank you that the turning point came with a revelation of your greatness and glory. And thank you, Father, not only that you're a great and glorious God, but you're able to care for us and love us in an intimately personal way. And we can't even fathom that. We can't even imagine how you can begin to do that. But we do acknowledge it to be true. And we see it here in this chapter. And Father, we pray. There are things, hopes and dreams that we have, but our greatest desire, our greatest need is that revelation from you, Lord. So reveal yourself to us, Lord. Reveal yourself to us as a great and glorious Lord. And reveal to us the depth of your loving kindness and care for each one of us, because it was that loving kindness that transformed the life of Job and that caused him to praise you. And he didn't need to wait until his fortunes were restored to praise you. All his answers, all his questions were answered in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your greatness, your glory, to be able to turn our lives around. And Father, help us to learn from Job's life. We can see what Job was unable to see. And we pray for those times in our life where we just can't fathom what is going on, that we will be like Job. We'll continue to trust in you. We'll continue to do what is good. We'll continue to honor and praise you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.